Good morning and happy Thanksgiving, friends. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Well, this year we've come to Thanksgiving from a series on prayer here at Neyland Church. We focused on prayer for the last month or so, and there's a great text on answered prayer I'd love us to look at today. It's from Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We'll read verse 1 through 19 of this miraculous, amazing story here. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jewish people, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought that he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked a length of one street, suddenly the angel left them. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had made a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards, and he ordered that they be executed. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, before we get into this text, I want you to pause and just ask yourself something. When you pray, do you actually expect something to happen? When you ask, do you look for an answer? When you seek, do you think you could find? When you knock, are you even open to the door being opened? Oh, eventually, sure, maybe, I guess, anything's possible, I suppose. If we lob enough Hail Marys at heaven, eventually some angel might catch them. Eventually God might come through. So let's just pray, we sometimes say to each other. Let's just pray, as if that's the least that we could do. But is it, or could it actually be the most? James has been killed, and the early church is facing terrible persecution here in Jerusalem. Peter's been locked up, and if it wasn't for Passover, Herod would have had his head too. And so the early Christians huddle in prayer here, protesting these abuses of power to their higher power. They know that that's dangerous to do. They earnestly pray for Peter's release, though that looks next to impossible. Luke notes that Herod had ordered 4 squadrons of soldiers to guard Peter here. That's 16 soldiers in groups of 4. So they could keep their shifts really short and they could be sure to stay on high alert. And Peter was lying there bound with not one chain, but 2, a soldier on each side of him and 2 more standing guard by the heavy iron door. In the ancient world, this was Fort Knox. It would take Mission Impossible to break him out of it. But as the church prays, God sends an angel to make quick work of all that. And you get the sense that the hardest part for that angel wasn't the armed guards or the locked doors, but that bumbling old disciple. First, he's got to thump Peter on the ribs to wake him up. Then he's got to remind him, oh, for Pete's sake, put some clothes on, Peter, or at least wrap your cloak here around you. Finally, he leaves him gawking on that street corner, wondering if any of this was real. But the others should hardly be laughing, because when the servant Rhoda bursts in, Peter's at the door. They can hardly believe it. Not a word. They've been praying all night for that answer, but when it actually comes, it seems they weren't actually looking for the answer that they were looking for. "You're out of your mind," they tell her. "It must be his angel," as if that's any less absurd. They see her obvious joy, but they refuse to hope that it could be real. The believers can't believe it. The prayers won't even look for God's answer to their prayer here. And so the church is confounded here, as confounded as the confounded old Apostle Peter. They'd sooner believe that Rhoda is crazy or that Peter's dead, a ghost or an angel, than their prayers have been answered. That Peter's really free, that he's really knocking there at the door. But what about us? Do we actually look? Do we actually look for God's answers to our prayers? And when they find us, do we dare to believe that that's what they were? I mean, maybe the joke's also on us sometimes. I mean, how many times haven't we prayed, "God, get me through this test, this trial, this drama, this crisis, this struggle, this burden, or this work?" But when the storm blows over, we fail to realize that was his answer, his work. When things turn out for the better, do we just move on feeling generically grateful, as you know most people would? Or do we give thanks with joy for our answered prayers to the Lord? God has answered so many of our prayers, friends. But so often we sit here senseless and disbelieving, too thick to notice, or too slow or stubborn to look. But if we saw them as his answers, we'd be flooded like Rhoda here with joy and with gratitude.